about Dam Auto Sales, 1021 Lewis Boulevard.
Shoot him now! Shoot him now!
Outdoors with John is on the air. This is the Hunting, Camping, and Fishing Show, presented by Northwest Iowa Outdoors, the region's number one outdoor entertainment multimedia outlet. Live from the KSCJ studios in Sioux City, the phone lines are wide open. Call 239-2101 right now with your questions or comments.
Good morning, everybody. The show is brought to us by the City of Kingsley, Small Town Sportsman in Kingsley, Iowa, Dirt Road Design and Screen Printing in Kingsley, The Shooting Shop in Anthon, Iowa, the Plymouth County Conservation Board, Skyline Lodge in Pearl Falls, Ontario, Iowa Great Lakes Outdoors in Milford, Iowa, Stan's Bait Shop in Milford, and Midwestern Land and Auction in Mapleton, Iowa. And speaking of Midwestern Land and Auction, they've got a new listing there. It's a cabin out in western Nebraska. I think it's, there's a couple hundred acres go with it, and the cabin's completely off the grid. It's got its own water source, its own power source. I know the guy who built this cabin, and the only reason he's selling is because he spends most of his time in Mexico now instead of out in western Nebraska. But it's kind of cool. Nebraska's reintroduction of the bighorn sheep is out in that area, and the previous owner of this cabin actually has woke up in the morning and seen those sheep walking around through his yard. It's kind of a cool listing. Go to MidwesternLandAndAuction.com and see that. And they also have the 40-acre parcel down by Whiting, Iowa, that's in a permanent CRP for sale. And it's just instant pheasant habitat. It's already there. It's in a permanent CRP. Hunters really are the ones that really going to look at this listing. The farmers, not so much. If they can't plant corn there, it doesn't seem like they have much interest in it, especially if it's in a permanent CRP, because they won't be able to take it out of that program. Oh, let's see. There's the Cherokee County Conservation Board is going to have a cool thing coming up on September 22nd, and they are going to tag monarch butterflies. In the they're going to do that at the Cherokee Iowa Middle School, and in the afternoon from 2 to 3 p.m., but that's going to be September 22nd. And I don't know, the monarchs, the things travel from South America clear up into Canada, and I don't even think one butterfly makes the trip. I think it takes like four or five generations of butterflies to make the whole migration. So like these butterflies that they're going to tag in Cherokee, in September, obviously, they're making their way south, but I think they'll only fly like a couple 300 miles, and they might not even eat. They're just going to fly a couple 300 miles and lay an egg and wait for the next one to hatch out and continue the trip. But it's kind of cool because they got these little tiny tags that they clip to their wings. And I don't know, Monona County's done it in the past, but I don't know, if you got kids or even if us big kids that are fascinated by that kind of stuff, that'll be September 22nd at the Cherokee Middle School. If you're looking for a utility shed, I know where there's two of them that are 10 by 12 utility sheds for sale, and you're going to make an offer. They're located at 2040 South Lakeport, and that's right at the corner of South Lakeport Street and 4th Avenue here in Sioux City at the Lakeport Laundromat. And you're going to need to move them yourself. You can call Deb at 712-490-3334 if you're interested in either one of those two utility sheds. And if you are interested in one and need help moving it, I would consider moving it for you for a donation to our Northwest Iowa Outdoors Youth Fishing Derby. So, I don't know, go buy a whole bunch of fishing poles and fork them over. I'll help you move the shed, and we'll make a bunch of kids happy.
You ever seen how people turn those into like man caves and stuff like that?
It'd be a pretty small man cave at 10 by 12.
I don't know.
But it's big enough.
Yeah.
Oh, it'd be a great shed to store your decoys, you know, or even your fishing tackle. If the wife is evicting you from your front garage, you can put that behind the house and keep your fishing tackle in there. 10 by 12, yeah, you could put a lot of tackle in there. Might have to even go buy some more if you don't fill it. Let's see. Oh, fishing report. They're catching quite a few bass right now. They're kind of active. After the break here, we're going to have Chad with Iowa Great Lakes Outdoors, and he's going to give us a report on the walleye fishing up there and kind of things that you can do. Because we hit these dog days of summer, and the fish just kind of go into lockjaw mode. They do for me anyway, but he's going to help us out on things we can do and how we can cash in on some walleye. Because they eat year-round. I mean, it isn't like while it's hot out, they quit eating. Some people claim that fish feed more when it's hot. It's just that the anglers just have a hard time finding them. And I've subscribed to that. Let's see. Speaking of the rainforest on fire and imminent death and destruction to humankind in 12 years, our trivia question here is kind of a weird one. But true or false? Insects will not attack a banana. Is that true or false? Insects will not attack a banana. And the number there is 239-2101. Up for grabs in our prize pack today is the highly coveted 1 ounce solid copper coin with the Minuteman on one side and the Second Amendment to the U.S. Constitution on the backside. And also a piece of Buffalo Bob's Hawaiian style teriyaki pork stick. And I have no idea what Hawaiian style teriyaki means. But anyway, can we hit the break here quick, Scott, and take those calls? And
yep, we'll be right back. 1360-949 KSCJ.
This is Jesse, your local Premier Dish retailer. Missing some of your favorite channels with your current TV provider? Football season is here very soon. The best part with shopping local is we can have you installed in less than 72 hours, and we do installations on the weekends to work around your schedule. We have helped hundreds of customers get those channels back over the last month, giving them better technology, a 2-year price guarantee, and saving customers hundreds of dollars. Dish packages are the same if you call an 800 number or sign up with a door knocker who is here today and gone tomorrow. We appreciate you shopping local. If you received a pre-approved Dish card offer in the mail or any other Dish offer, we can redeem it fast and installation in less than 72 hours. Call us today at 712-293-DISH. Check us out online at ilovedish.com or visit our store at 1711 Hamilton Boulevard. Thanks again for shopping local and supporting our local business. Call 293-DISH.
Requires credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, and e-autopay. Call for details.
To celebrate Taco John's 50th anniversary, our famous Sierra Chicken Sandwich is back. With grilled chicken and original Sierra sauce wrapped in a warm flatbread, the Sierra Chicken Sandwich is better than ever. Plus, we're giving you a chance to win $50,000, free food, and other great prizes with any medium or large drink purchase. 1 in 3 cups is a winner. Enter the code on the cup to see if you've won $50,000, free food, or other great prizes. The more you play, the more you win. Ole the day at Taco John's.
The sawdust will be flying, and steel chainsaws will be flying out the door during Baumgar's Sawdust Days in Sioux City today and tomorrow. There'll be great deals on steel and all other power equipment, and you can register to win a steel chainsaw. The steel rep will be doing demos, and Scott Tobin will be making chainsaw carvings today from 11 till 3 at Baumgar's on Gordon Drive. And they'll both be at the Baumgar's on Hamilton tomorrow from 11 till 3. Don't miss it.
Big John. Big John. Every morning at the mine you can see.
Well, there is one thing I want to mention. If nobody has anything better to do today, I have a lawn in Pearson, Iowa that needs mown. So if anybody has some extra time on their hands looking for something to do, give us a call at 239-2101 and we'll get you the directions. You can get over there and get that lawn mowed for me. It'd be kind of a lot of fun. It'd be a wilderness experience because it's a big corner lot and there's maybe 5 or 6 blades of grass in the whole lawn. So, great opportunity for somebody that likes studying weeds. And we do have Chad on the line. Good morning, Chad.
Good morning, John. I'll come down and mow your lawn if you'll come up and do mine for me.
Hey, that sounds like a deal because I go mow your yard. I'll just hurry through it and get out on the lake and get some fishing done.
I'll join you. That's one of my least favorite things to do is mow grass.
Yeah, you think I'm going to get any takers on that proposition today?
I don't know, but I think it'll be a pretty interesting venture to see what you get for calls.
I don't know. It's worth a shot, isn't it?
I would definitely agree with that.
You know, people have done stranger things on this earth.
Yes, I'd agree.
By the way, Scott, we got a winner to our trivia, didn't we?
Yeah, Scott Semple correctly said true.
Yeah. The reports that the banana is the only fruit that will not be attacked by insects.
I suppose, because you got to go through that skin to get to it.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. The only thing worse than finding a worm in your apple is finding half a worm, is what they always say. Anyway, Chad, the summer's heating up. Kind of the fishing for most of us kind of slows down, but they claim that fish bite. Some people claim that fish bite more during the hot months than they do the cooler ones. It's just that we don't know how to find them or get our lures into the strike zone.
Yeah, you know, when the weather gets hot, I like to look a little bit deeper because the fish seem to congregate more around the thermocline on the lakes, at least West Okoboji Lake. Big Spirit doesn't really, you know, get much of a thermocline, but the rule of thumb there is still to look deeper. But, you know, it's always an adventure that time of year to look for fish. But there's always fish biting, that's for sure.
And I like, speaking of Spirit Lake, I think up there, the deepest parts on that lake are somewhere around 25 feet. Is that right? Or am I mistaken?
Yeah,
on that?
24. I mean, depending on which map chip you have, it'll be 22 to 24 feet. And then obviously, you know, when we have higher water levels, you know, it'll be a little bit deeper. But along that east side, you know, from Stony Point or Big Stony all the way down to the spillway is where you're going to find the deepest water up there on Big Spirit.
What kind of tactics do you use like this time of year to target, say, the walleyes?
Well, that's interesting. I was actually making some notes this morning, and with the cool weather up here, got me kind of fired up because the crankbait bite's going to get going, and that's one of the ways I like to target walleyes, you know, moving forward from now until we pretty much can't fish them with ice up. So I like to pull lead core this time of year, which is a tactic that a lot of people are somewhat intimidated by, but it's really very easy to do. And I like to run a lot of small baits and run at various speeds. But what I found in the fall is typically a little bit slower speed. You know, pulling crankbaits on lead core usually triggers a lot bigger fish.
And the lead core, again, that's actually a monofilament fishing line filled with lead. Is that correct?
What it is it's a coated line inside a sheath. So that sheath, like for the type of line I use, it's made of Dyneema, which is a material that's somewhat water resistant. And the lead is actually inside. It looks just like the pencil in a mechanical lead or a mechanical pencil. And it's just one continuous strand that runs through it, and it helps get your line down a little bit deeper, and you're able to run, you know, smaller baits at depths that you normally would not be able to run them at.
And the whole reel isn't spooled with this. You just use like a leader section of it, correct?
Yeah, and for the lakes up here, I mean, you can get by a full core of lead or spool. It comes with 10 colors, and typically you can buy, you know, one spool and run two colors, you know, onto some backing on a line counter reel and definitely cover a lot of applications up here at depths for what you would be fishing for walleyes here in the Iowa Great Lakes. So, and I do that. You know, I have some that are set up with full core, but I definitely run some with just two colors because that'll get you down with a 25-foot leader, you know, to around, 18 to 20 feet of depth. So,
That's interesting, because that's a tactic, I mean, as far as, you know, trolling with these crankbaits and stuff. I mean, years ago, we never would have considered doing that to try to catch a walleye. I mean, if it wasn't a minnow on the end of on a jig or just a plain hook or a leech or something, it's just, you're useless.
Yeah, and I mean, crankbaits, there's all kinds of different ways to target walleyes in the fall. You know, jigs is another way to do that, and we can talk about that. But, you know, for me, you know, the biggest fish, Al Linders always said this, you know, the biggest fish always come on crankbaits or spinners. And we all love to pull spinners, and crankbaits is one of those tactics that is a little bit harder for some people to grasp, but really it's very, very easy to fish crankbaits. The biggest challenge there is, you know, when I go into the bait shop up here, it's like going into the candy store. What color and what size and how many? And, you know, that your wallet's always limited by that because they're not always, you know, inexpensive baits to buy. But definitely a fun way to target big walleyes here in the Iowa Great Lakes.
Yeah, absolutely. It is like you go into Stan's Bait up there in Milford, and it's like a little mini Bass Pro Shop. It's just, I just can't believe how much selection's there.
Travis always grins when the crankbait fight starts and he sees me walk in the door because usually I'm going to need a cart.
and he doesn't have a cart. So next
time I go up there, I'll probably push a wheelbarrow in and just tell him to just clear the whole shelf and load it up.
But, yeah, just get it over with.
Yeah, exactly.
And I would imagine that depth and speed are the biggest trick to doing this with the crankbaits.
Yep, depth and speed is key. A lot of times I'll go scout the lake real quick before I even fish, you know, especially on East Okoboji, and try and find where that school of walleyes is that's riding a little bit higher off the bottom, you know, a foot to 3 foot. And I'll map those schools out by creating waypoints on my GPS, and then I'll pick some baits out that you know, I know from experience up here are good colors to run in the fall, and then lace the rods up, and we'll start running through those. And you know, if we hook up with a fish, you know, the first thing I do is ask the question, okay, what speed are we going? And then I'll also look at how the fish was hooked up once it hits the net. You know, if it's on the back hook, that typically means I need to slow down a little bit. If it's hooked up on the front hook, then that typically means I've got the speed right. Now I need to start paying attention more to the type of bait and then specifically the color. More often than not, John, I pay more attention to the type of bait because it's that action when it's running on the lead that will trigger the fish more often than the color. But the color does come into play too. So those are just kind of some things that I use to get things dialed in the boat. And once they're dialed in, it can be pretty fun because now you're consistently picking up fish in the school. So
when you go out and scout, like for instance, I don't know, you got clients this morning. Well, if you did, you'd probably be out on the lake right now trying to locate a school before you even take them out, don't you?
Yeah, typically. And there's days where these fish on the lakes up here will set up in kind of the same parts of the basin, you know, like from Big Stony to Cottonwood Point when I'm talking, you know, Big Spirit. Those fish will set up there and they kind of string out typically from west to east every fall up into Anglers. And you can usually do a trolling run, you know, up there north of Stony and along the North Shore, and those fish are going to stay there because they're kind of staging, you know, for that really late fall, early ice period where you're going to find them moving up onto the rock. So,
sure. And, you know, different people I talk to, you know, my friends, it's like, well, I don't know, they kind of feel like they're maybe a eunuch if they hire a guide to go fishing. But I tell you what, when you're on a strange lake, I mean, even a lake, I fish Spirit Lake a lot, you know, in the winter for perch and that. But I mean, one thing that the guides do is, well, the good ones anyway, number one, they know the fish that you're targeting, and number two, they know the waters.
Yeah, that's key, especially here. You know, I'm not afraid to share anything with customers in the boat because I want it to be a learning experience for them, and I do get a number of people, especially in the fall, that want to learn how to troll lead core or just troll in general. But, you know, there's other tactics, too, that you know, we'll work with folks on. You know, jigs are a great way with live bait or plastics to target walleyes in the fall, and it's a little bit slower way to fish walleyes, but definitely a very effective tactic to put fish in the boat. But knowing the spots on the lake to go do that is key. And, you know, like I said, I'm not afraid to show people where to go and how to do that. Because if they have success, then, you know, they might take somebody that's never fished before and go out and have some success with that person. And they're just pulling another person into the sport, which is good for all of us. That's a win.
Oh, absolutely. I tell you, jig fishing has got to be one of those things. It's kind of frustrating. And, you know, as far as you sharing stuff, you can take somebody to the exact spot, show them the exact way you're fishing, and use the exact bait, and they still won't catch the fish because there's so much difference in the technique on moving that jig.
Yeah, There is. And, you know, the other thing, too, is having that jig sized right for the conditions. You know, there's some really, really good shore anglers up here that are really successful. I always get kind of frustrated when I talk to the fisheries clerk, you know, when they're doing creel surveys and they say, yep, waders are the way to go right now and jigs on the shoreline. And here I am in a boat and cruising around trying to get these fish to bite. And a lot of times I think, you know, it's better to go hang out with those guys and fish with them because they all are pretty good in terms of working a jig along the shoreline and detecting a bite. But again, the key there is with this, where I'm going is, you know, to have the jig size right for your conditions. You know, if it's a windy day and you're fishing in the rock, maybe you want to go with a, you know, like a quarter ounce, you know, versus like a 3/8, just so it keeps you out of the rock a little bit more. But again, you know, just size your presentation to the conditions you have and then match your plastic. You know, if you're running plastic, to that jig as well. You know, I'm a big fan of running live bait on jigs. You know, especially blue chubs in the fall. That's probably one of my favorite ways to catch walleyes in the fall is running creakers or blues.
Yeah, it's always been kind of tough to beat live bait, especially with like bass fishing and stuff too.
Yeah, I don't run a lot of live bait really, but you know, that smallmouth bite in the fall can be pretty good on live bait up here. You know, especially up in Mille Lacs. You know, I spent a lot of time up on that lake. I don't know if a lot of people from Iowa fish up there, but some of those same tactics, you know, that I used up there, you know, I live in Minnesota, can be used down here to definitely put some really nice fish in the boat in the fall.
Yeah, it seems like with the smallmouth, you really have to attack those rock piles too, to, you know, kind of get down
yes,
in.
You do.
I mean,
yeah, Doug Burns, fellow guide and friend up here. I always give him a hard time to leave those smallmouth bass alone because he's a really good smallmouth fisherman, and you know, that's one of his favorite things to do, as is mine. But attacking those rock piles is definitely key.
And if you're afraid to snag up, you're out of luck.
Yeah, if your wife puts you on a limited budget for tackle, don't go fish the rock pile.
we're about out of time again here, Chad. What's biting up there right now? Are you guys picking up a few walleyes?
Yeah, it's kind of a transition period right now, and you're going to see that the next 2 weeks. As far as West Okoboji, panfish from day to day have been kind of up and down. I was out earlier this week with my niece and nephew, and the panfish bite was a little bit slower. Bass are still going over on West Okoboji and also on East Okoboji now, you know, and lots of yellows on East Okoboji. But we're going to start seeing walleyes on East Spirit, starting to see a few walleyes in with the perch. There's a little bit of a perch bite going up there now, out in 20 feet. And I think we're going to see that improve.
All right.
Here.
Well, I got to cut you off. Anybody interested in more information, they can go to iowagreatlakesoutdoors.com, find them on Facebook, or call 330-9678.
Well, when you got to go, you got to go.